here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. Do the hucklebuck, do the hucklebuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth.
Hucklebug Nation, welcome.
Back 455 years ago. Uh-huh. I was thinking about this today when we used to open the show with "Welcome and beyond the new."
Oh, welcome! Yeah, willkommen. We even used it as the opening.
It was opening title. It was a thing, people.
It was a whole thing. Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome. So this is episode 693 of the Hucklebug. I am Steny,
and 6 + 3 is 9. That order, but it works. For me.
Okay. I'm Steny, and you are?
I'm Bet.
Oh, okay, good. We are Bet and Steny, and it's
Time I checked, I was Bet.
We're here to do a Hucklebug podcast for you, and there's no rips to speak of, so we're going to start with your shout-outs.
Roar!
We have no shout-outs on Hucklebug.com
this week. Tina must be busy.
Tina must be busy, exactly. So instead, we will start on Facebook under the episode, and our first shout out is for Siskita. Siskita says, agreed on the cinematic world building of video games. I adore the Horizon, Ghost of Tsushima, and God of War games on PS4 and PS5. So I'm curious about Fallout. And I see I have not played any of those because I don't have PlayStation. And incidentally, I watched the last two episodes of Fallout, and it's great. I loved it. I really did. It's not going to be for everybody because it's so gory, but it is fun. She said, I wanted to wash my brain after playing Last of Us 1 and 2. It was too nihilistic for me. While the story was well told, there was no real hope. I hated being forced to hit buttons to move some plot points forward. Yeah, I don't like that either. The TV show is a little more forgiving of the audience. The other one I forgot about is The Witcher. The Witcher is also based on a video game. And that was pretty popular on Netflix as well. That one's not quite to my taste because it's a bit more of a medieval style. And I just don't really dig that. I watched a couple episodes, but it was a little too creepy. That one was a little too scary for me. But The Witcher is another one that's good that was based on a video game and had a successful TV show. Thank you, Siskita, for your shout-out. We're never going to find out what that one answer to the Colbert questionnaire was, are we? What was the one that she said? It was like, it's worth it. Worth it if you don't die.
Don't
or something like that.
Yourself.
Worth it if you don't injure yourself. Like, we don't know what that question was for that, Siskita. But you tell us if you ever think of it. Thank you for your shout-out. Appreciate
Yay!
You. And under the missive, we have a shout-out.
Kelly with an
eye.
And she says, congratulations to Brian. I will send that along, Kelly, with an IE.
Hey, Brian.
He takes good thoughts from everyone. She said, hugs to all of you. Boys on the Side is a buddy girl / road trip movie. Spoiler alert, parts are sad. Okay. Drew Barrymore is also in another flick I have to watch when I see it, 50 First Dates, which I have not seen. And this brings me to something that I will lay myself naked before all of you.
Oh, goody.
Awful
as
that.
I love this part. It's my favorite part of the show, and Bet lays herself naked.
I have also never seen The Wedding Singer.
I really liked The Wedding Singer.
Which is supposed to be one of the great 80s, music type movies of all time.
Yeah.
I've missed it all these years, I have no idea. And I'm sure I would like it.
It might be for the same reason that I haven't seen 50 First Dates, which is that I don't care for Adam Sandler, but you know what? He was fine in The Wedding Singer. And I saw, what was the other one I saw? I mean, I have seen enough of Adam Sandler to know that I don't really care for him. You know, I don't want anybody to think that I ruled him out just because I didn't like him on Saturday Night Live.
Well, my thing
I've seen Happy Gilmore.
Everybody says he's the nicest person in show business.
I've heard that too.
I try to tell myself that, but I just don't like his stuff. I just don't.
You know, The Wedding Singer was fun, and it wasn't, you know, like he normally is. And, you know, Happy Gilmore, I didn't really care for, and Waterboy. But Big Daddy was all right. And I've heard really good things about Click also. I've heard really good things about Click. So I keep thinking I need to watch it just to see what everybody's saying is so damn good. How good could it possibly be? But apparently it is. So, you know, maybe I'll put 50 First Dates on, you know, I should have like a list of Adam Sandler movies I should give a try. And 50 First Dates is on there. And so is Click. What's the other one? There's another one too.
There's that one. Is it called Uncut Gems? That's actually kind of a dramatic role for him.
That's not the one I'm thinking of.
Okay,
but
people were talking Oscar and it never happened. And well, you know,
let's not go crazy.
Right.
He is still Adam Sandler. Hang on. Let me, I shouldn't do this. You guys, we know better, but I am looking him up on IMDb real quick.
But then there are Punch Drunk Love.
There's Uncut Gems. Maybe Punch Drunk Love is the one I'm thinking
Spanglish.
Of.
I think those were two.
Spanglish. Things. Spanglish. Yeah, and Punch Drunk Love were the two. Yeah. All right. Well, all right. Perhaps one of these days, Bette and I will give Adam Sandler another chance.
We've been too harsh.
I always liked his Red Hooded Sweatshirt song, too, on Saturday Night Live.
Nothing's better to me than his Thanksgiving song.
What about the Hanukkah song?
Turkey.
That's good too. The Hanukkah song I liked, although it started getting radio airplay and then it became too much. Then everybody was singing it, you know.
I've told this story on the podcast before, but it bears repeating. Years ago, watching a repeat of Saturday Night Live with Paul in the room, mm-hmm. when Adam's doing the Thanksgiving song, love to eat turkey and pumpkin pie. Sammy Davis Jr. only got one eye. I thought my dad would fall out of his chair.
It's good stuff.
If Adam never did anything else, he made my Paul laugh like that.
That's important.
Yes.
All right, gang, those are your shout outs. We appreciate you and we thank you for leaving them.
Yay!
All y'all feel free to come back next week and leave us more. That's all right. And now it's time for us to move on to movies.
Movies!
We both have movies this week. What's your movie, Bette?
Well, I guess this is a movie. I'm calling this a movie.
Call it a movie.
It's in two parts, so maybe I'm calling it a movie and a sequel.
Okay.
But I don't consider it a TV series, so there you go.
All right.
But I finally got to see, it came out March 29th, and I've been dying to see it, and I finally got to. The Apple TV Plus, Steve Martin documentary.
Oh. What's it called?
It's called Steve Martin in Two Pieces.
Okay.
So you have one piece and two piece. And folks, I just had a blast watching this.
All right.
The first part is from birth, and you'll know a lot of, if you've read his autobiography, like Stens and I have.
Yes.
You'll know a lot of what's in it.
Born Standing Up.
Born Standing Up.
Great, great book.
It was about growing up, and his family and his dad was incredibly distant throughout his entire life. But when he was just a kid, is when Disneyland opened, and he heard that they were hiring kids of all ages to come and work at Disneyland. And so he worked selling like the Disney news. He was like a newsboy, you know, so he started there. Then he went to the magic shop.
Right.
And then, and it listening to him talk, because, you know, he went to school, he studied philosophy. And so he started using philosophy to realize that he wanted to be a comedian and how he could be a different comedian than most people.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so they show so many, old clips in clubs where there's like 10 people and he is just bombing like nobody gets it.
Right.
Nobody.
Yeah.
So then it tells you, how he got hired for the Smothers Brothers. And then, you know, he kind of small steps, he rose up, then he hit it big. And that piece ends when he is the biggest comedian in the world playing stadiums. Yeah. And it says, you know, it kind of pauses and says, because he knows he can't do this forever. This right. is not what he wants his life to be.
Right.
And so it says, you know, this concert was the last time he ever did stand up. So then it goes to the second piece, which talks about his movie career.
Mm-hmm.
And he is brutally honest about some of the, you know, things he thought were wonderful that he just got skewered for
right.
in the movies.
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes into his private life with people who know him talking about how no matter how close you were to him, you never really knew what was going on in his life because he mm-hmm. was so guarded because right. of his family. And then he talks about when he did L.A. Story, a movie I love.
I love it.
And met and married Victoria Tennant, which that marriage didn't end. And then the older he gets, the more kind of open he becomes. And it goes into how he met his now wife. Mm-hmm. And they have a daughter. Yeah. But person in this movie, my new favorite cartoonist ever, Harry Bliss, who, uh-huh. you know, wrote books with oh, Steve.
That's right.
And they talk about that whole partnership. And Harry does a lot of illustrations, which I think is just brilliant because Steve doesn't want to show his kid in a movie.
Yeah, good.
He wants to keep it private. So yeah. Harry has drawn a family portrait of Steve and his wife. And then their little girl is in the middle and she's just a stick figure. And there's a point in the movie where Steve's doing an interview and the little girl comes in to say hi to him. And they use Harry Bliss's stick figure. But oh, then cute. They go into him working with Martin Short.
Yep.
And there is a great scene with them meeting at a table, and they've each brought their jokes that they've written for the show, and they read them back and forth to each other. That, well, that, I don't know about that one. Oh, that one sucks. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. Let's use that, you know.
Yeah.
It is just so good to get into the mind of somebody like Steve Martin.
That's fun.
Totally that's fun. Recommended.
Sounds good. I don't have Apple TV Plus anymore, but, you know, Maybe someday I'll re-up. I'll keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah.
Well, my movie, I don't even know how I'm going to talk about this. Last night I watched Hundreds of Beavers. Maybe you've heard of it.
I have not heard of it.
I've never seen a movie like this before in my life. I'm going to start by saying thumbs up.
Oh, okay.
This movie came highly recommended to me from friend of the show and former listener, Krizzer, who saw it with Les a week or two ago. And, you know, they both went in blind, not really knowing anything about it. And they both just loved it. And she raved to me about it. But she also said, she also said, A, that she didn't want to build it up too much. But B, she said, I went in blind and I think that might be the best way to go in is to not know anything about it.
Yes.
Which makes it hard to talk about on the Hucklebug.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't, first of all, I wouldn't even begin to tell you the plot. I'm the plot such as it is. I would not really be able to explain it to you. I will say this
It's a movie, not like a documentary.
Well, and it's not like a documentary, but it's also not like any other movies you've seen. But saying that, you can clearly see the influences of like silent comedies and cartoons and Monty Python even here and there. It is really funny, but it's also, there's a high degree of what the fuck about it. So what I'm going to say is if you decide you want to watch Hundreds of Beavers, which I do recommend, but it's not going to be for everybody because it's very off the wall. It's very off the wall. But what I will say is this. When you start watching it, within the first 2 to 3 minutes, you're going to have a moment of, what the fuck is going on? what the fuck's going on? And what I want to tell you is, don't try and figure it out.
Oh, okay.
Just wash it. Just let it, just let it flow over you.
And don't quit. Don't quit.
But on the other hand, I mean, you know, if you get about halfway, if you get 20 to 30 minutes in and you're not enjoying it, then the rest of it is going to be very much like what you've already seen. So if you get 20 to 30 minutes in and you're still not digging it, it's safe to jump. But if you get in 10 minutes and you've already laughed out loud at least once, then stick with it. Because it's bizarre, but it's really funny.
Okay, now where is it?
It is on Amazon Prime for rent or to purchase. Good. It's also available to rent from Apple TV Plus, if you would prefer to do it that way. Which I did not do because, as I said, I don't have Apple TV Plus. But you can. It's available currently to rent. And it's in select theaters, apparently, still, even though it was made in 2022. And I thought for a long... It's silent, I should tell everybody. It's basically silent. And for a long time, I thought it was foreign as well. For a long time, I thought it was maybe Finnish or something. I didn't know because nobody talks, and there's no real way to tell. It's mixed media as well, so there's live action. There's some animation. There's green screen stuff.
Yeah, I'd be all over that. You know me.
You will. You'll dig that. You'll particularly like the opening credit sequence will be a grabber for you, Bet. But towards the end of that's the other thing. The pre-credit sequence, you know how sometimes you go to a movie and they start in media res and it's like 3 minutes later, all of a sudden there's the opening credits. The opening credits came like 10 or 15 minutes in. I'm like, well, what the fuck are the credits doing here? What's happening now? Is it over? I couldn't figure it out because it was so late.
Yeah,
it was much too late to be.
That in later times that became a Python thing.
Yes, exactly. Python would do it. That was one of the things that made me
halfway
think of
through
them.
The show. Yeah,
exactly. That was one of the things that made me think of them, but not the only thing. It's fun and it's wild, but it is not going to be for everybody. There were a lot of moments where I was like, well, now what the hell is going on? Because it lulls you into this sort of false sense of it. First, so you're... I probably already said too much, but you start and you're like, I don't get it. And then you start to get comfortable with it. A couple things make you laugh. And then you're like, okay, well, I think I see what's going on now. And then something else will change that makes you go, well, now what the fuck? And then just as it's starting to lose you, you laugh again and you're like, all right, well, I'm back on board now. I'm back on board because it made me laugh. And then I'm going to stick with it a little bit longer. But it just keeps getting crazier, but also funnier. And it's so weird, but it is funny. And it's, I really liked it. It isn't going to be for everybody. I honestly bet I have no idea if you'll like it or not.
Well,
I don't know
what will happen, but I'm peaked. You have piqued
my
interest.
I have piqued you. I figured I would. Well, I hope that you dig it. But I'm fully prepared for you to come back and go, I did not get what the fuck was going on here, Stenny. I disagree. Unsnap. And so I'm prepared for that if it happens. But I really did. I really dug it. All right, what do we got next?
Well, I have a little thing called Bet Did It. Twice.
Twice.
Well, I did two things on Sunday, the day after we last recorded. And one of them, I know I told you, I don't know if I told the public at large, I had a project for Sunday, which was to clean out the three drawers at my computer desk.
Okay.
Which
yes,
had become
right.
in such disarray that, well, like the top one, I couldn't even open it because it had so much crap in it, you know, just like your spoon drawer when a spoon
right.
gets...
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Exactly. And it gets stuck. Yeah, and now you can't open it or close
yeah.
it.
Yep. And there were some other things that happened, we'll talk about that later, that I thought, well, maybe I'll just let this go. And I thought, no, no, no. I said I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this.
Right.
So I got a big old, not a kitchen bag, a big old outside garbage bag.
Hefty bag.
Right. Put it at the desk, and I started with that top drawer. And folks, I threw away for a fare thee well.
All right.
I mean, I lost all sentiment with anything I came
Good
to.
Good for you. Good for you.
And I mean, when I just opened this top drawer, it's unbelievable. When I finished
it. I heard it roll open gently.
Yes.
Nice. Listen to that.
The next drawer is the Hucklebug drawer.
Oh, yay.
Which
for your
was
kazoos
awful,
and such.
Which was awful because my box of 5-second rule cards, the box was empty and the cards
no.
were all
Oh,
laying
no.
Yes.
Oh, no. How do you know which ones you've done and which ones you haven't done?
I don't, but it's been so long.
That's true.
None of us will remember. Okay.
That's true.
So, but I fixed all of that. Then the bottom one, it just had a lot of old DVDs, CDs that had no labels. If they had no label, I threw them away. Sorry.
Good for you. Wow. What
right.
That's so brave. I'm proud of you.
Then I went to the top of my desk where I have two plastic, like, file. I love these things, but I don't know what they're called. They're tall, and, you know, you fit, like, notebooks and stuff into them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I started pulling, because they were full, I started pulling stuff out of that. I found the program to Taylor and Allison's wedding. I found two newspaper articles. I gave them to Pat this week that featured Taylor when he was in high school.
Aw, that's adorable.
And I did throw it away, Stens, I'm sorry. But, you know, we need to think about this. It's been a long time. I found a crumpled up piece of paper that held about 10 movie mashups from the show.
Oh, damn. I wish you hadn't thrown them away. We probably did them. We probably did them already.
But I'm just so proud of myself for getting that done, and it's out of the way. Don't know how long it'll take for it all to fill up again, but, you know.
Good for you. Congratulations. Okay. I'm super proud. You've inspired me a little bit. I'm kind of tempted to maybe clean out my drawers here. We'll see. Maybe I will. Maybe
okay,
I will not.
So would I say twice?
Oh, yeah,
before,
twice. Oh, that's
before
right.
the clean out, I did something else pretty monumental for me.
All right.
Which was, I was telling you, I watched the Steve Martin documentary on Apple Plus.
That's right.
I have been locked out of Apple Plus and paid for it ever since
right.
I got the new Roku.
I forgot.
Because
that's
my
right.
password. And, you know, the last time I had to change my password to get into iTunes and TV and all that.
Yep.
I actually had to get on the phone with somebody.
I remember.
Because, you
I
know,
remember.
You
and it
there,
took years.
Right. They give you a code, numbers, you punch them in, you hit accept, then they give you another set of codes, and you punch those in. And, you know, I get so frustrated and it always comes back. It's wrong. Well, it took me maybe 20 minutes or so, but I just kept taking deep breaths and said, I can do this. And I am back on track. I can watch Apple all I want to.
Yay.
I can get iTunes and buy music like an SOB, baby,
awesome.
Which I've been doing.
Good job.
And
good
I did
for
two
you.
Really useful things Sunday.
Yes, you did. Good for you. You had a very productive Sunday. I'm super proud of you. All right. I have a video of the week. You know, I wasn't sure where to put this. It could be video of the week. It could be an old new favorite. This is it could be a binge watch. It could be a rabbit hole. It qualifies as many. This is a video. It's a YouTube channel that I discovered back when we were on our hiatus. I discovered it back in August of last year. And I did post something on my Facebook page about it. And I might have even made a passing mention of it on the Hucklebug. But I wanted to do it real justice. So I decided I would actually make it a focus of the show and make it my video of the week. The YouTube channel is called League of Pigs.
I remember League of Pigs.
League of Pigs. And it's There's now 11 seasons. No, there's 10. There's now 10 seasons. The seasons are short, though. They're 4 videos or maybe 3 videos. So they're, you know, the seasons themselves are short, although there's long gaps in between. Like, if you're subscribed to the channel and waiting for new episodes, you've got long waits. You know, you get a new episode and then it's like 3 months and then you get a new episode.
That gives you reason to live for 3 months.
It gives you reason to live. The other thing is there's 10 there now. So there's lots for you to dig into. If you guys go and watch the first video and decide you like it, you got tons to enjoy. It is this... I don't know anything about the people who run the channel. I have to assume there's more than just one, but there's only one guy whose voice you hear. You never see his face. You don't know his name. Some English guy, and he's got four pigs. Cooney Cooney pigs are the breed. I don't know anything about pigs. There are four pigs. The pigs' names... No, there's five. There's five pigs. The pigs' names are Bear, Pepper, who's my favorite. I'm actually wearing my Pepper Pig t-shirt right now. Bear, Pepper, Ginger, Hoshi, and Piggy Smalls.
Piggy Smalls.
Sometimes called Notorious P.I.G. And they are the four racing pigs. And then, so the guy sets up a little pig racing track in his, you know, garden in England. The big thing about the pig, it's not just watching the pigs race. The big thing is the commentating. who I assume is the guy who runs the channel. He calls these races like a Formula F1, like a Formula One announcer. The other thing is that each pig is assigned a nationality, even though technically they're all five pigs live in England. But let's see, Pepper's from Mexico, Bear Trotsky is from Russia. Piggy Smalls is American. And Ginger's English. And who's the other? Hoshi. Hoshi Oinku is Japanese.
That has to be Japanese.
Yeah. And it's so fucking funny to hear this guy. He's so fully invested in the racing. To hear him commentate, you know, as one pig stumbles or something. It's... I can't even describe it. Just go to League of Pigs on YouTube and just watch the first race of the first season. I actually started watching with the finals of season 9, the final episode of season 9. And it was it was just randomly recommended on YouTube one day. I was just there saying League of Pigs. I'm like, what the hell's that? Pig racing? Why would I want to watch pig racing? I said to myself. And then I went, well, maybe I do. So I watched that first one and I was hooked instantly. It's so funny. The pigs are so cute and you cannot help but root for them. I root for Pepper, even though she's kind of a loser. Pepper's one of the smaller pigs and she doesn't win very often. Pepper and Bear are both kind of useless at racing, mm-hmm. But all of them have their moments in the sun. And it's so funny and so cute and so enjoyable. It really was a great tonic to me when I discovered it in August, you know, when Mom and Poppy were still staying here. It was, and you know what? Mom really enjoyed it too. It was something Mom and I could do together. I'm like, anytime she was kind of getting cranky, I'd say, do you want to watch the pig races? She'd go, oh, okay. So I just want to recommend that very, very strongly. League of Pigs.
League of Pigs.
And then, you know, if you like them, they sell a lot of merchandise. The other thing is, in the later episodes in season 10, when they're showing the credits of their Patreons, look for Heidster, because that's me. I'm a Patreon.
Oh!
I pay him $5 a month so we can get more wonderful pig racing.
More pigs.
Season 10 just finished.
When they're doing the races, they need to, like NASCAR, they need to advertise. You could be a cape on Pepper.
Oh, I could. Oh, that would slow her down, though, and she's already so slow. I banged my microphone. Sorry. We're out of time. That's okay. That's okay. We got a couple more topics, and then we'll finish it up. What do you got for us, Bet?
Folks, I have a pet story.
I want to hear some pet stories.
Yay, a pet story. Hooray.
And Well, I can tell you all this now.
Right.
Only Stens knew before. But bit of a worrying time here at the pod. And it started last Friday when I came home from work.
Right.
And you know, my boy, my old man, my senior dog.
Yes.
Who has the little gingerly back legs and back, you know. He's not getting any younger.
No.
But when I got home Friday night, I thought I'd die. I mean, I'm telling you, I thought I'd die.
Yeah.
He finally came to the gate when I got home, and he could barely get down the steps into the dinette.
Oh,
I could barely get him in and out for a pee.
Yeah.
And when I brought him back in, we were in the kitchen, and I was getting his Kosakuan, which we call the treat because he thinks they're special.
That's right.
And fixing his food. I looked at him, and he was looking at me. But he wasn't so much standing in the kitchen as he was leaning against the refrigerator.
That's right.
And I just lost everything.
Poor little buddy.
And then after I fixed his food and gave him his treat, I went in and got on the couch. We have a thing now where on the recliner, I can leave it at an angle, and he's a smart dog. He knows how to walk up it, you know,
right,
to get on the couch instead of trying to jump.
Yeah.
But he couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
And folks, I have to tell you, for the first time Friday night, I saw him look at me like, I can't do this.
Oh,
and so
hard.
Of course, that's so hard. And then Saturday morning, I was awakened by my cane falling into the living room floor. And when I looked to investigate, Milo was just stumbling through the living room. He knocked the cane over.
Oh.
And so that was like 8:15. By 8:30, I was dressed, shoes, hat
just
on,
in case. Ready to go.
With phone in my hand, thinking, yep, I'm going to take Milo to the vet. And this might be his last ride.
Yeah, definitely. You might not come home with him. Yeah, that's...
And, you know, the vet closes at 12. So I sat there and I sat there. And like we do, when we don't want to do something, we find any way to convince ourselves not
right
to. Which I did. I finally let it get to 12 o'clock. And
yeah,
I said, I just can't. Yeah. I can't. Well, thank God for that. By the time I was online with Stenny for the podcast, he was moving a little better. He was not like he was. And during this week, he has progressed. I mean, he's still a little gingerly boy, and he walks very lightly on his back legs, but he's hanging in there, people.
He's hanging in
stuff. Please, you know, with pets, no
maybe
hands
not
on
so
the
much
monitor.
Popping and jumping. No
right.
Hands on the monitor.
Yeah. Well, he actually has jumped on the furniture a couple of times, right. but I always try to intercede and lift him because I don't want that one jump to undo what's been done.
Well, that, just so you know, I have a little something on the way to you and Milo
that may be
a helpful thing for both of you.
Oh, good.
Yep. Should be coming soon.
But we're okay. We're in a holding pattern. But I just wanted to let you know, when you love your pet, and anyone out there who's had a pet, you love them.
Right.
Things like this happen, and that's been the past week of my life.
Actually, the thing I sent you has been delivered to your P.O. box.
Okay.
Pick that up.
Monday.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear it. I've been very worried about our boy.
She has been asking all week.
I have.
Updates on the boy. And he's here under the desk, all
chilling,
curled up.
Chilling like a villain.
Chilling like a Bob Dylan.
Good boy. Good boy, Milo. Don't be scaring us like that. It's a sad thing. All right. I have a watch your
phraseology.
Phraseology.
I love these.
I don't think we've done this one before. The phrase is dead as a doornail.
Dead as a doornail. I don't think we have either, but yeah, I know that phrase.
Everybody knows the phrase, dead as a doornail.
I sure know that phrase.
If you've read Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, then you will know in the very first paragraph of that novella, the narrator, who is neither Dickens nor Scrooge, but just, you know, some entity, sort of goes on for a couple of sentences about why people say desert doornail, because the first line of Christmas Carol is Marley was dead to begin with, dead as a doornail, and then he goes on a little tangent about I don't even know why we say dead as a doornail, but that's what he was dead as a doornail. So we know it's been around at least that long. It says this expression, this is from the phrase finder, our favorite, phrases.org.uk.
Yes.
We know what it means. It means dead. Okay, dead as a doornail means
and dead. No mistake.
And no mistake, exactly. Not in a coma, not a little bit dead, very dead. What is the origin? It says this expression is old. It has been in use since at least the 14th century. There is a reference to it in print in 1350.
They had doornails back then?
You know, if they had doors, they must
have had... Jesus was a carpenter, I guess they did.
Exactly. And they had nails even then. There's a reference to it in print in 1350, a translation by William Langland of the French poem Guillaume de Palerne. Mm. But this is in Old English, so I can't read it, but it does say, I am dead as doornail. And then there's another one from around 1370 that says, faith without works is feebler than nothing and dead as a doornail. So that's how old it goes back. I had to dig a little bit here. And they do talk about Dickens here. Old Marley was dead as a doornail. Mind, I don't mean to say that I know of my own knowledge what there is particularly dead about a doornail. Yes, Dickens says he thought a coffin nail would be a better as the deadest piece of ironmongery in the trade. But anyway, doornails, the way they used to construct doors back in the day, doornails are large-headed studs that were used in earlier times for strength and more recently as decoration. And the practice was to hammer the nail through and then bend the protruding end over to secure it so that it wouldn't come out. And that's why it was called a dead doornail, because you wouldn't be able to pull it out and reuse it for something else because it's been bent.
Once it's
been used, it's been bent. Just like at the Theater Guild, when we take sets down, we keep the screws. We tend to keep the screws and reuse them unless we strip the heads too bad or they break. So, you know, back in the day, of course, when resources were tight, that's what they would do. They would reuse nails, but they couldn't reuse doornails. Doornails were dead because they'd been bent. So that's where the phrase comes from. Dead as a doornail.
Wow.
Now you know something you didn't know.
Rather obscure, but yes, useful. A little
bit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Impress your friends at your next cocktail party. I know all you hucklebuggers are out there going to cocktail parties every other weekend.
And then never be invited to another cocktail party.
Exactly.
Again.
Oh, that's that crazy person who talks about doornails. Don't bring them back. Don't invite them back. All right, let's do you rules and get the heck out of here. No. What do you say, Beth?
Well, I have a U rule, and most of you probably know it by now if you're Facebook friends with me, but my U rule is for Billy with an IE. Billy with an IE.
Billy with an IE.
Who is a client of ours.
Oh, I think I do know what this is.
Right, but she is such a good friend. She is married to somebody that I grew up with in the neighborhood, and Pat and I just adore this girl. She is so wonderful. And she talks like this. She talks so quiet, but she's so sweet. But, you know, I posted on Facebook about my blue pen being stolen.
That's right.
Which I did tend to go overboard, and people thought I was actually upset about
it. No, I loved that, though. If you're like me, and I assume you are, you get attached to your pens, your favorite
right.
pens.
Right. I'm a pen and pencil geek. I mean, that's all I can say. So, I went on and on about losing my blue pen. It was absconded with. Mm-hmm. And so I thought nothing about it.
Without malice aforethought, I believe. But
right.
Still,
yeah.
I just wandered off with it.
I'm sure that woman got in her car and said, oh, I have a pen. Put it in the seat. Oh, forgot about it.
Yep.
But the next morning after that Facebook post, in comes Billy. And she says, hi, how y'all doing? How you doing? And so she's talking to Pat, but she's pointing at pointing at me. And so she comes back into the office with a little blue gift bag. And in the bag was a package of those blue
gifts. That's awesome. A box of 20.
I think there are probably eight.
Oh, okay. Eight's good.
Yeah, eight's good. And they are the exact basic blue
perfect.
Bic pen. The perfect Bic pen. And I just died laughing. I thought that was the funniest thing ever.
That sounds like the kind of thing Doug would do.
Yeah, wrote with it all day.
Oh, great.
But that somebody would see that and do that for me, it just cracked me up. And so, Billy, you rule for a lot of reasons, but
I
for that
it.
One, yeah.
Yay. You rule, Billy with an IE. Billy with an IE. I'm going to give my you rule this week to Sean from the Bellingham Theater Guild. Sean graciously took over for me as librarian for the last couple of months.
Ooh.
While I've had my hands full with other things. And we just this week did the handoff back to me. And the truth is, I have been neglecting the Bellingham Theater Guild Library for quite a long time.
Well,
so I'm going to start throwing myself into it.
Is that a hard thing?
It's not hard.
Because
but
in the Blacksburg Community Band, librarian is a hard job. So
it's not a hard job, okay. but it does require some care and attention every once in a while. And I haven't really been doing it. And I feel like just getting the handoff back from Sean made me go, you know, I kind of went into the library for the first time in like 2 years. And by the way, our library is a small closet tucked behind the actors' bathrooms, you know, way in a tiny little corner of the theater. And
hey,
it's damp
it works,
and dusty and smells like books and water damage and mold. And but we do have
despair.
And a little bit of despair. A little bit of despair and loneliness. But all good smells. But I wanted to thank Sean. There's not a lot of people I would have trusted to hand it off to. And Sean is one. So I appreciate it. I appreciate his help. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate you. And that's our show this week, you guys. That's our Hucklebutt. That's our whole episode. We sure hope that you have enjoyed listening to us babble on and on and on and on for a while.
As much as we have enjoyed babbling on and on.
Babbling on and on and on and on, which we have. We look forward to hearing from you all again next week when we come back for episode 694. Yeah. It's kind of cool to be back on this regular schedule once again. I'm enjoying it. I feel like we're getting into a groove.
And again, comments are always welcome with suggestions.
Suggestions.
Something we should talk about.
Tell us if you... if you watched Hundreds of Beavers or League of Pigs, let us know what you think. Or Steve Martin in Two Pieces. We'd want to hear your take on that as well.
Yeah.
And any other interesting, fun things you've got going on. You have questions you want to ask us? Any other things going on in your lives you want to tell us about? We love you guys, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. But until next week, thank you all for listening. I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Bye, everybody.
Bye, we love you.
That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
I forgot I started recording. No wonder we're out of storage space.